All right, partner, you know what time it is.
Hello, mud babies, pod people, and inhabitants of the planet Earth. It is I, your spaghetti-eating leader, Steve Mudflap McGrew. That's right, Miss Thang made some tofu spaghetti. That sounds icky, doesn't it? But it is not. It's delicious. It's tofu spaghetti. I'm not really sure where she got it. One of the health food things like Vitamin Cottage or something like that. So Google, bitches, and find tofu spaghetti. She made it with turkey, so it's not even ground meat. It's ground turkey with tofu spaghetti. I'm eating healthy crap. And I'm liking it. How's that work? Anyway, here is today's podcast. Mr. Kenny Wilson comes back to chat with us again about the stuff that I jacked up the first day he was here. We brought back some of the subjects, added some new ones, and it's a great podcast. You'll enjoy the part where we actually talk about some politics stuff there toward the end. He's a very knowledgeable man when it comes to politics and makes some sense. So grab you some popcorn, get you a cold beer, grab a water, like I'm drinking my right now, my zero sugar, zero caffeine, zero calories, zero sodium, clear American pineapple coconut water. I'm loving this stuff. I'm drinking like two bottles a day. Let's see, one quart. So I'm drinking 2 quarts of water a day. What are we wasting time talking about water? Let's get on with the Kenny Wilson podcast.
Check, check, check.
Your turn.
Check, check, check. Check, check.
Oh. Nothing. Check, check. Oh, turn your mic. Check your mic. She turns hers off sometimes when she's done.
Check, check, check. Check, check, check.
There you go.
There we go.
There. Very nice.
I can work the microphone.
You're like a sound dude.
I should get a job in the sound industry.
Yeah. Have you ever thought about that?
I think I could be a sound man if I studied hard enough.
You think maybe like at Toby Keith's Bar and Grill?
That would be awesome.
Isn't that where you work?
I'll go down there tonight and see what happens.
All right. Ken Wilson is joining us again because I screwed up that first day.
Whatever.
Here's what happened. So, I had it all done, and I have to piece this together.
Okay.
And you heard, paying back, that the music apparently started in the right
it
center
did.
Of the one that was left.
I thought it was like a comedy bed underneath our serious conversation.
That's like the dog started
dogs barking and gunshots going
right.
off. And
okay.
Yeah.
That's my end. That's the end of the show, which got in the wrong place yesterday. So I will fix that too. But what happened was when I was piecing it together yesterday for the first show, the computer froze.
Oh, no.
And so when I restarted it, it didn't save the part we taped.
Okay, the previous conversation.
Right. And I had not saved it. Oh. Like, you know, save the pieces before you put it together.
Okay. So, computer 101.
Right. Save. Right.
We can go out in the neighborhood and get a 5-year-old to teach us how this works.
Right.
Save. Then
work
yeah.
with it.
Exactly. Got it.
That was the screw up yesterday with the podcast. So I said, kid, can you come back and try to recreate the magic? And he said,
it was so much fun, of course. And if we can't recreate it, we'll just take the magic bus down another path.
It will go down another path.
I know it will.
As you heard from listening back, you're like,
yeah, I have no idea what's going to happen next. That's kind of fun.
Right. And this is what I was trying to do with the radio show.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's live.
It is what it is,
like,
right?
Let a caller call. We'll go in that direction.
Uh-huh.
You know, we start talking about the school lunches, and then somebody says something about, you know,
right.
I hated the milk.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And then, remember the milk carton? The carton
that with the faces on it?
Yeah.
But we have to steer this back around to our corporate sponsor.
Yeah, we got to get back over here. Yes,
this moment of idiocy brought to you by.
Yeah. It can't just be organic and go a different direction.
Exactly.
Because that's what I love. When I listen to podcasts, and that's one of the reasons I really wanted to start doing this, is you listen to other podcasts,
uh-huh,
and you hear how organic they are. And by the end of 30 minutes to an hour, like a lot of podcasts are,
right,
they've talked about 8-9 different subjects and took you on a little trip.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's an awesome idea.
I do too. I love that.
And it was so fun to be on the short bus while we did it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, maybe not the short bus.
It's a short bus.
Yeah, okay.
It's a short bus, after all. Your tea's still here.
Oh, my tea is still here, and I'm going to drink it. I'm going to pretend it's scotch in a coffee cup, like the big guys do.
Oh, I had a little scotch. Now I'm ready for my network broadcast news.
Exactly. Oh, morning, wake me up, and where's that big cigar?
Yeah.
To make my voice sound awesome.
Like this all the time. I wish I had one of those.
Well, start smoking. There you go.
Is that what causes it? I thought maybe if I could just get like a polyp on a vocal cord.
A polyp. Go out in the winter when it's like 5 below 0 and scream at the top of your lungs. It deepens your voice. I read a story one time. Rock Hudson did that back in the early 60s.
Seriously?
Yeah. To lower the pitch of his voice. It kind of, I guess it tears your vocal cords up. Yay.
Well, I'd be okay with that.
Okay.
Because I've
Steve Mudflap McGrew.
I just got, because I've always thought there must be some way to tune a vocal cord too,
mm-hmm,
you know, because it'd be like a piano string. Is it tight? Is it loose? Is it? I wonder if that's possible yet. Have doctors figured out like a, you know, take this much out or tighten this or, you know,
cut a little bit off if it doesn't scar, or you can tighten it up yourself, you know. But that's crazy to talk like that all the time.
Talk like that?
Yeah, like, you know.
Hello.
Hello.
You hear those girls? Hi.
Hi.
I'm an adult.
You hear them on they used to call the radio show.
Oh, yeah.
You'd be like,
hello.
How old are you?
I'm 31.
Bullshit. You know, like.
And their voices go up like an octave or two when they see their friends. Dogs start barking
like, yeah,
in the neighborhood.
Nobody hears them, but dog.
Exactly.
But I would love to have one of those in a world. You know, the inner world, the located.
You need to find Scotty Brown. He'll bring his in.
Yeah. He's got quite the range.
He does. He's got an incredible range. He does.
For those listening around the world, Scotty Brown is a Denver musician here in town, played forever. Mikael Christensen, who listens in Sweden, loves Dark Red Sky.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Awesome.
So, say hi to Mikael. He lives in Sweden.
Hi, Mikael. This is Ken, the original drummer for Dark Red Sky.
Right. He loves the band. He actually told he
really?
Yeah.
Wow.
He says it's like Viking rock. I told you this.
It's Viking rock. Yeah.
And he loves it.
Oh, and Scotty's so good at that.
Yeah.
And maybe we can get him out on tour somewhere. You know, Scott Horn's their new drummer now. He plays with them all the time.
Uh-huh.
But they still do the same thing. They're writing more material. They got a couple videos out, as your friend Mikael said.
Yeah, that's how it got him into
awesome.
That and then wanted more.
Right.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Scotty's out there. He's never going to stop. He's a local hero, and he's toured the country. He's toured Europe. He's played everything with everyone.
So
he's
Scotty should
talent.
Probably try to get to Sweden. I mean, if
he should,
if they're loving the Viking rock, he could be the perfect.
They could put their
Sweden.
Put their helmets on and head to Sweden. Their loyal order of water buffalo helmets. And head straight to Sweden.
Flintstones reference.
Yes. Exactly.
Oh, so are you working tonight? Are you playing tonight?
No, I'm going to do some sound tonight at Toby's, and tomorrow night also, and then Saturday we're playing the Taste Colorado.
Oh.
Yeah.
I remember that.
It was fun, wasn't it?
It was fun.
It still is. We've done it for many years now, and it is a great time.
Yeah, that was very fun. Did you, are y'all opening for?
No, we're actually headlining the KYGO stage this year.
Oh, who?
Oh, no. The country stage.
Yeah, the country stage. But wasn't it fun, though, to open for the actual, you know.
For the Nationals?
The national act.
It is always fun to interact with those guys and open for them and share a stage with such great talents.
But
it really is.
But you guys are doing that as Honky Tonk Voodoo at Toby's now.
We are. We do that a lot. We do that a lot at Toby's. They're very helpful, and they've been very accommodating with all the local bands. Whenever a national comes in, whoever's playing there gets to open up for them, create a little exposure, which helps every band out.
Yeah. So do you have you made any good contacts that's going to like go, take me on the road? I want to be your drummer. I want to go on tour as your drummer.
I have made a lot of good contacts in the record side and the playing side. But for all those awesome drummers that are already out on tour, you would never try to take one of their jobs. But if there's ever an opening somewhere else, they've got your name.
Yeah. So when you were out on the road, because you toured for a long time with a lot of the bands. I remember you telling me about the was it the Bullet Boys?
Oh, yeah. We used to do in a band I was with Scotty Brown, Riot Act. We opened for Bullet Boys, opened for Cinderella, Mr. Big, all kinds of 80s hair metal bands. It was a heyday.
So what was the best, tell me the best road story of being out on the road.
I don't know if we can talk about that.
Sure we can. What is the best, the one story that you would say, this is the ultimate rock and roll story for my travels?
Wow. Let's get back to that in a minute because I'll have to think about this. There are so many, and a lot of them didn't happen to me. There are some better stories than I ever encountered that didn't happen to me.
But that you just have heard about?
I've heard about, yes.
Well, but what's the worst, best one that ever happened to you?
Wow, you're putting me on the spot. My mind just went totally blank.
It happens like
it
that.
It does. It just went totally blank.
All right, we'll come back to
okay,
it.
Okay, all right, thank
if,
you.
If it pops in your head, we'll come
at
back.
At some point, I won't segue at all. I'll just jump into this.
My story was.
I was so hammered.
Yeah. That I fell off the stage.
I did. No, I did not. Yes, I did.
Yes, you did.
I have.
I know that. I do know that story.
Oh, no. That was my birthday. It was my birthday.
Falling off the stage. Now, when you're out on the road, of course, you got to eat after a gig. And yesterday, you and I met at the Waffle House.
Yes.
The wonderful Waffle House.
Love that place.
How can people not like the Waffle House?
You know, I think a lot of people don't know about it. And outside, it looks very much like a diner. But the truth is, the closer you get to Atlanta, Georgia, the more people like the Waffle House. I mean, that's where the Waffle House hive is.
Uh-huh.
Yes, yes. So, and I don't know. I mean, it's inexpensive. It's just plain basic food.
Uh-huh.
The waitresses, when they yell and scream at each other and yell scattered and...
Scattered, smothered, covered, top to chunk, smothered on two.
Yeah, at the cook, like he's doing something wrong.
Yeah.
That's kind of like, it's entertaining. It's a show and it's entertaining.
I always said it's like a Southern Benihana. If you sit at the counter, you actually get to watch the guy cook on a flat thing.
Just, exactly. He's back. You see him from the backside.
Yeah.
But he's flipping and reaching
for salt and cracking eggs with his two hands.
Squeezing omelets with one hand and waffle irons with the other. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pulling those T-bones out.
Yeah.
Which are going away.
The T-bone is going. They're doing the goodbye tour.
Yes. The farewell
tour
to T-bones.
Why? Who doesn't love a good T-bone?
I love a good T-bone, but I think somebody in corporate likes the ribeye better. They said they're replacing it with a ribeye.
Right. And the waitress we spoke to yesterday, Mama is her name, by the way.
Mama.
They call her Mama. She said that they had a bigger steak that was better, but it went away. Remember she said
that? What was that? A porterhouse.
Porterhouse.
It was a porterhouse.
We love that. That's gone.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody's complaining about the T-bone going away in the South.
Right.
She said, that's a big, you can go to the website and complain, because everybody wants their T-bone.
They want that. And up here in the North, people are just freaked out. What are grits? I'm not even worried about the T-bone.
What
are grits?
I'm not a big grits guy.
I love grits, but I love them with butter and maple syrup.
Well, I've learned to sort of like them.
Uh-huh.
I hated them as a child, because they're texture.
It's a texture thing.
You put them in your mouth, and it was like wet but crunchy.
Yeah, like those those little balls of styrofoam that it's kind of like that.
Yeah, that like stick to your skin, that you can't get rid of.
But
like,
they're crunchy.
Yeah, it's kind of like what now doesn't bother me is the fish eggs on sushi.
I love those. They're like crunchy.
Right. What is that called?
Roe.
Roe. That's the same kind of thing. So now I'm kind of used to the texture. So I've kind of. Okay with the grits as long as I put some butter and I like to sprinkle sugar on mine.
Oh, yeah. So and I use maple syrup because
it doesn't make it healthy.
No. Maple syrup may not be healthy, but it's better than sugar.
I had a friend, a comic named Steve Epstein. He's from New York City.
Oh, no.
Hated grits. And his description of grits was, you know when you step on a cockroach, that stuff that squirts out?
Yeah.
That's grits.
That's grits. Oh, great. I'm never getting past that.
No, that's just nasty.
That is grits right there.
So back to the texture thing.
Oh, yeah, okay. Texture.
I know that you were talking the other day about we all went to the Adrift, the tiki bar,
uh-huh.
and we're eating some different types of food, the goat cheese,
right,
and the
right.
You had the salmon.
I didn't have the salmon. I had the tuna.
Tuna. Yeah, yeah. And the girlfriend Marlena was kind of like, I don't know.
It's weird. Well, she had the slider with the goat cheese.
Right, and you won't eat that.
No, God bless her. She'll try stuff that she doesn't like or anything, and I'm just freaked out by goat cheese. Freaked out by goats. They're like cloven hooves, and I don't want anything.
You don't even
want
to try it?
I don't think I do.
You won't put any goat goo in your mouth?
No goo. I really don't even drink cow milk, you know. I'm not a milk person, no. Cheese is good on pizza, and cheese is good on Mexican food, but you won't see me just
eat pieces of cheese. You want like string cheese is supposed to be good for everybody?
Really?
Yeah, you don't do the string cheese?
No.
That's supposed to be very healthy. That's why you see it's little snack things.
Like I thought it was just to clog you up when you needed it.
Like
it's Imodium, string Imodium.
Oh, well, okay, now we've taken that bus down this road.
Oh, no, let's not go there.
Let's go back to the texture thing. Well, this is going to be texture.
Okay.
Sort of. Now that you and the girlfriend are sort of hanging out and spending the night together, how is the bathroom situation?
Oh.
Is it weird?
Well, you mean like...
I have to go poop.
Oh, no. I thought it was like, whose toothbrush is this?
No.
What is that extra shampoo in my shower?
No.
Oh, no.
Talking about, like, if you're watching TV, both of you, one of them goes, excuse me a minute. Where are you going?
No, actually, she is studying to be a physician's assistant.
Uh-huh.
So bodily functions and processes, and she dissected a cadaver last year in lab.
Uh-huh.
So it's all, oh, yeah, I don't care. You know, it's all normal to her. I'm the one that's freaked out about that.
But doesn't it, okay.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm going to go to the store. Why? Well, I have to use their bathroom. I can't do this here in front of you. That's crazy talk.
Right.
And I'm the one that's weird about it. She's all like, whatever, I don't care.
Do you go to the store?
No, I'm just kidding. I just, you know, I kind of like, I'm going to, click.
Where are you? Click.
Click. And where'd you go? Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah. Just don't
go in there.
Yeah.
Are you pulled out?
Yeah. Let's go for a walk.
Let's go to the store.
Yeah, let's go to the store now and buy string cheese.
Yeah, because that first few times that you have to share a place.
Right.
There's that weird, uncomfortable moment of like, how do I tell you I have to go poop? How do I excuse myself from the room? Please don't let this smell come down the hall.
Right. And like I said, her being a medical student, it's all, everything's fine. She has no problem with any of it. It's fine. It's really, it makes it comfortable and easy to be a man because men are known for their...
So you'd be totally comfortable with her coming in one afternoon and going, oh, by the way, you forgot to flush last night.
Yeah, no, I'd freak out a little bit. I'd freak out. So now I have signs like on the back of the bathroom door, flush.
Flush.
You know, on the refrigerator, water.
Boyfriend must wash hands.
Yes. Put down. No, I would put those up. Yeah, wash hands, put lid down.
Okay, that's another thing. The lid down.
The lid down.
Let's get past that as a society.
The
lid is up. We're guys, we put it up.
Right. Right.
You're a girl, check before you sit down.
Exactly. Well, I've kind of solved that problem because I put them both down. When I'm done, they both go down. That way, there's no, you know, and I lived with a girl one time years ago who asked me, can you please do that? And then I'd go in and I'd find them all up. I'm like, if we're going to have this rule, it's got to go for both of us.
Put it down.
Put the lid down. So we all have to start from scratch.
Well, you know, for health reasons, you are supposed to close the lid.
Yeah.
I read this thing because I read stupid shit all the time.
It's your job.
Yeah, is that when you flush a toilet,
uh-huh.
the spin of the toilet creates a vortex.
Okay.
Like a whirlwind, hurricane, typhoon thing. It sends water droplets into the air.
Oh, it does?
It's when it spins.
Okay.
So it's going down. The water's going down, but it does create a
so like
vortex.
Negative ions or something come off the water and they're full of crap.
Right.
Okay.
So they say you're supposed to close the lid before you flush.
Okay.
To keep everything encased in the toilet.
Keep it as contained as possible.
Yeah, that's why you've ever seen these things where they take a blue light into the bathroom.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Yeah.
Or they look for germs. It's like, it's all over.
Oh,
why? Because that little vortex of poopy pee kind of.
Poopy pee. It's everywhere.
Oh.
Good to know.
Let's stay on the poopy pee
okay.
thing. Because I don't know. I hate scatological stuff, but we always end up here. I thought of something the other day.
All right.
Because
I'm out of scotch.
An old guy next to me at the urinal at Park Meadows Mall.
Okay.
The fancy mall.
Yeah.
We're standing there. You know how you're just going to pee at the urinal, and all of a sudden I hear.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. You've been there.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Thank God he's in the bathroom.
Right.
That sounded horrendous. Do you need help?
Did you just shit in your britches or
exactly.
something?
Exactly.
Okay, so this got me thinking.
Okay.
Because you just went to pee. If you really needed to fart like that, why mm-hmm. didn't you go down to the stall? Just mm-hmm. just step away from the urinal. But I think sometimes your body can't help it. Have you ever been in the situation where you're in a hurry and you try to, you know, you push to pee and you fart?
Yes. Yes.
You know, like
maybe the bladder comes off your, you know, it moves around a little and that trapped one escapes.
Yeah, there's that. You just go to pee and you accidentally fart.
Uh-huh.
There's not a name for that, is there?
Because I
know, like, if you go to fart and you shit in your britches, that's called a shart.
It's shart, yes.
A shart.
Yes.
But I don't think there's a name for when you go to pee and you fart.
And yeah, well, you should make one up then. Should come up with one and see if we can get it introduced into the language.
Into the language, into the dictionary.
Yeah.
What would be the...
I don't know.
I parted.
It could be a parted. Yeah.
I parted.
Part.
Pisharted. Pisharted.
I don't know. Yeah, I think part's about the best one you can come up with.
I parted.
It rolls right off your tongue. Part.
Part.
I parted.
Yeah, but I'm sorry.
I sharted. I parted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I thought about that, because a lot of times, and this is probably sharing more than I should, I'm not a big door closer if I pee.
Okay.
Yeah, I just run up, like, it's right there behind the, you know how my house is set up. There's
uh-huh.
a bathroom right beside the TV, basically.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we'll be watching TV. I'll run in and pee.
Right.
Now, what happens if I part and Miss Thang is sitting on the couch?
Yeah.
Do I have to go, sorry?
Sorry.
Sorry. So I'm worried about that.
Well,
that I might
you've created a gray zone by leaving the door
open.
If the door was closed, you're fine, because that's where you're supposed to do it.
Do you close the door every time you go to the...
You know what? I live alone, and I close the door.
Because you don't want the cat to hear you part.
Exactly. Or fist. I don't want him to hear me fist.
Fist. Fist is a good one, too.
I fist my pants.
I fisted.
I just fisted all
I
over.
Fisted.
Yeah, I know it's bizarre. You know, I'll be eating dinner alone, and I'll burp. I'll be like, excuse me. And I'm like, really?
But you were raised right.
Well, I hope so. I mean, my parents put a lot of effort into me, so they say.
Yeah. You're their little disappointment.
Exactly.
Who is the disappointment in your family? Is there somebody that you would say, not in a bad way,
right?
They disappointed your family.
Because no.
I think I'm it.
Do you?
Yeah, and not in a bad way.
Right.
You know, my brother's a computer programmer with Shell Oil. My sister was a legal secretary, has a degree in HR.
Right.
And then there's me. Didn't finish college, never really held I guess the radio was probably more of a real job, but it wasn't a job, you know, no suit and tie, no degree.
9 to 5, but it's very essential job, part of our morning experience.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know if there's any disappointments. I mean, I didn't live up to my potential, I suppose. I beat things for a living.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, but... They managed to keep me in the family. I still get to go to Christmas.
They still invite you to things.
They still invite me to some stuff, so I think I'm doing okay.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
But you would say you might think that you're the black sheep of the family?
Oh, yeah. I definitely didn't take the traditional path.
Right.
You know, I kind of went astray. Came back and then left again.
Came back, left again.
Yeah. Decided I was not cut out for that and took off again.
So you've tried the corporate thing a couple times.
I have. Well, yeah. Actually, through management of a flooring company, started out as construction, but then you get tied up and you work your way into the management. Next thing you know, you're in the office and you're dealing with something we discussed yesterday, you know, the HR people and the upper management. And, you know, one of the companies I worked for was part of Home Depot. And so they had their whole corporate structure that they tried to enforce on the construction industry that was built for a box store,
mm-hmm.
and it was very difficult. I mean, they made money hand over fist, so it was probably a great endeavor on their part.
I can see you being an HR problem.
Oh, probably.
Mr. I'm not politically correct and refuse to be. And
exactly.
This is a real problem, and I will point it out.
Yeah, it's a real problem, you know. And he hurt my feeling. Yes, I did. And
what is that whole feelings things in HR? This is a hostile and work environment.
Those are the key words, yes. Hostile work environment. Yes. Thank you for pointing that out. You know, you created a situation and now you can perform your function within that. Thank you.
So you think a lot of HR people just created that job? Because I do remember what it was, just personnel.
Right.
Go to personnel and give me your driver's license and your phone number so we have records.
Right. I think we talked about this a little bit yesterday and the fact that there's been a whole industry created around the PC endeavor and trying to make everybody feel good about themselves and about their job. And but there's a story that goes back to one of our managers was going to a meeting and took the HR director with him. He goes, I just want to swing by this one job site and check some stuff out. And she got all offended. What are we do? What is this? What is this? This is a construction site. And this is what our company does. In case you weren't aware, we build things. And we build things in places like this. And those people work for us. She just couldn't grasp the idea of something other than the human relations part of the job. She's like, I don't know why we're out here, because this is what we do.
I wanted you to see kind of what we do.
Yeah. Is it possible you could envision what we do to create revenue for our company?
Yeah, and if somebody gets mad at one of the guys on the construction site and cusses him out,
right,
it doesn't mean he's a bad guy or should be fired or hurt the feelings of
exactly.
the other one.
Exactly. It's not the end of the world, and we're all going to be fine.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
So do you see, this may step on some toes, that it's more of women in the workplace that can cause some of the trouble? Because they do get a little catty with each other.
Oh, I think that's possible. Guys can be the problem just as easily.
But we're not going to go to HR and complain.
No, we're going to go outside and beat each other up and then buy each other a beer and be fine with it. And
right.
then somebody's going to see it from inside the office and get offended that there was a fight outside. And then it starts all over again.
Right.
You know.
But when you've been in the cubicle world, you see all the four or five cluck, 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 cluck hints all in one. And she has her heater on, and I get hot, and you know she wore this low cut blouse, and it makes me uncomfortable.
Right. And I think that's just part of human nature, whether it's girls doing that to each other or guys going, you know, hey, the new girl's really cute, or, you know, I mean, it's just human nature, and we should just allow ourselves to be that way.
Yeah, I liked it better when you watch the old movies, and the guys are like, if you don't like it, don't work here. You know what I mean? Those old...
That must have been the HR guy.
Yeah.
That was the Wild West HR.
Yeah.
Get out.
You see when the factories, you know, pulling handles, just, you know, stamping out metal things, and, you know, nobody
exactly.
was ever like, I don't like her.
Yeah, exactly.
If you don't like it, leave. Clock out.
Clock out. Go take a break. Yes, exactly. Well, thanks to Upton Sinclair in the Jungle, now we have all this in the workplace. You remember that book?
Yeah.
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 Whatever happened to
John's
finger or
somebody
whatever.
Fell into the meat or what?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think there's a reason that goes back to why we should have some rules and regulations, because
right.
that was just
no human parts,
horrendous
food consumption.
Horrendous. And the way they used to treat employees, horrendous. We're much better than that now.
Yes.
I think.
Are we?
We appear to be.
Don't you think that corporate America is sort of like, has become like Big Brother, the TV show Big Brother, that you're all put in this one room, people you don't really know, and you're forced to live and work together, and you create these alliances and these friendships because you don't like that other person, and
right.
you and I should get that one fired.
Well, that's very...
We should get them voted out of the house.
Vote them off the island.
Yeah.
I've never watched Big Brother, so I don't... But I know the premise of all of the reality shows is pit one person against each other.
Survivor. It's the same
Survivor.
Kind of,
and that may be why it's so popular, is because we're not allowed to do that at work. But we can rally for our team at home.
We can watch it. But if you think about it, that really is what you are put in with people you don't know, and you have to spend 8 hours, the majority of your life, with people you don't know, might be annoyed. It's one of the things that I was telling them at one time back at the radio station, is that you're forced to work with somebody that you don't get along with, don't like, and you should be more professional.
Right.
Well, professional is has nothing to do with it. It's being in a that is a relationship.
Yes, it is.
It is a if you were in a bad relationship, you would get out. You wouldn't just be professional. This is a professional relationship. You know what I mean? I think the people don't in the workplace don't understand that is that we don't work well together. Our personalities don't match.
Correct.
You should learn to get along. Fuck you. I don't want to get along.
We tried that.
We tried.
You know, on the other hand, you know, it's big boy world out there. Put your big boy pants on and go to work. Yes, you may not like them, but you do need to feed your family. So shut the fuck up and go to work. But at the same time, after you're to a certain part where you're like, yeah, I can't do this anymore. I'd rather sell Slurpees at 7-Eleven than have to deal with this every day.
Right.
You know, you've exhausted everything you can and,
But shouldn't, that's what I'm saying, shouldn't human relations, the HR people, realize that? When you come to them and say, yes, this relationship isn't working, maybe just move them to another department.
Exactly.
It's never about having maybe to fire somebody, but just saying, this relationship in this cubicle does not work.
We're not good cube mates.
Right. And I don't think corporate America, I think that's why people are so frustrated and so stressed out, is they really can't vote out the idiot.
Right. Well, and I think they've got their little seating chart. Excuse me. Yes, you're supposed to be sitting there. Why? Well, because it's written right here on the paper. There's a little line to your desk, and that's where you sit. But wait, I'm not a cube on a piece of paper.
I'm a human being.
Yeah, I'm a human being. I'm not an entry on a spreadsheet.
Right.
I'm a human.
Right. And some people may be okay sitting in a corner with no windows. Some people might be, but I'm not.
Right.
I don't work well like that.
I hate the outside. Put me in a closet.
Yes. There's people that might want to do that. We have the chart and the paper, and this is the way the cubicle office is set up.
Exactly.
So I don't think they ever take any human into consideration. Actual human.
You're an entry on a spreadsheet. This is your employee number 74-196.
And if you don't like it,
we'll get another person to be employee 74-196.
Yeah. And I'm okay with that sort of, because it's like you said, it's America.
Yeah.
You don't want to work here? Get out.
Get out.
But at some point, try to work with you before they get out.
Exactly. And they don't have to make it, you're in trouble, we're going to work with you. Or you did something wrong. It's just like, hey, how can we make this better for you? You know, or
and then you're going to get, why are you coming in here and trying to cause trouble? Why can't you just go sit down and do your job?
I'm offended.
I'm offended. Uh-oh, I think I just parted.
I fist. I just fist my cubicle.
Oh, that's why you need air fresheners in your cubicle.
I hear you.
My phone is blowing up.
Can you your phone your... is blowing up. Mine well, is let me, asleep.
Let me tell you why.
Okay.
Now we will now have another long podcast.
Okay.
That's okay. But I'll tell you why my phone is blowing up. I don't know if you saw my Facebook this morning. People were complaining about back-to-school supplies and how much it's costing the back-to-school supplies, and $300 for this, and $200. And I had to buy community supplies for the classroom. So, and then somebody wrote, well, teachers are underpaid, and teachers have to, you know, spend their own money on classrooms, and, you know, we need to pay more taxes to help out with the education. Mm-hmm. And so I went, hold on.
Okay.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Mr. Non-PC jumped up.
Here he comes.
Here he comes and said, let me help you people out here. You complain about the rising cost of education, the increased number in the classrooms, and the fact that nobody wants to help pay taxes and have for a better education system. And I go, correct. No more taxes. We are taxed to death. Here is the solution. One simple solution.
Mm-hmm.
Kick illegal aliens out of the country. No free rides. They don't get anything. They don't belong here.
Right.
You don't spend our money on illegals. That money goes back into the school system, pays for the books, pays for the teacher. Very simple answer.
You started a shitstorm, didn't you?
Shitstorm.
Wow. Well,
but doesn't that make sense? I mean, that's
the truth will do that to you. The other thing is, it's the proper allocation of taxes. Our property taxes are supposed to pay for the school system, upkeep of the schools, and pay for the teachers. Some areas have much higher property taxes, some have much less. You choose where to live, and your property taxes go to that. But they're stealing those to use something else, so now they need to take more money from you to cover that. There's an issue with the gas. You know, the oil companies make a, you know, 12% or 9 cents a gallon off of every gallon they make. But the government taxes is 25 cents a gallon.
Oh, there's more taxes on it. That's what people don't understand.
But the taxes are supposed to be for upkeep of roads, bridges, maintenance. That's what that tax is for.
Right.
That gas is tearing the roads up on our cars.
So they must
so
fix
that
it.
Tax fixes it. So they've misallocated that. Now we have to pay an extra tax for bridges and road repair. It's all about the misallocation of funds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a specific fund that goes for a specific reason, and if we can keep these guys from dipping into it for their insurance or their pay or their severance or whatever.
You keep up with this pretty good. I try. But what would you say, because I talk to, this is kind of jumping around, I talked to one of our city councilmen here in Denver a few years ago, and he said the reason there is a problem with the money and the taxes is that no program ever gets cut.
Okay.
Because if you start one, it's going to go.
Once you start a program,
okay, it's going to go because you're going to piss off somebody if you try to cut it. And then you're the bad guy. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be seen as the bad guy because that's – so a lot of these you never even hear of. There's programs that just – that lay dormant, but it gets so many thousands, millions of dollars a year.
And where does that money go?
And where does it go? So he was saying, you know, this stuff really needs to be cut.
Uh-huh.
That it has to. It's not about taxing more.
Right.
It is just saying no more.
No more. It's keeping your house in order, and somebody has to make the bad decisions.
Right.
In our lives, we have to make hard decisions at times.
And nobody makes hard decisions because you don't want to lose a voter. And that's why I go back to get the illegals out.
Uh-huh.
Nobody wants to make that decision.
Right.
Because even so the illegals don't vote. Their cousin does, the one that, you know, born and lives here.
Uh-huh.
You might piss them off if you kicked out their illegal cousin.
Right.
So the politicians don't want to actually do anything because they might lose a vote.
They might lose a vote. At this point, though, it's so close to the tipping point that you may lose a vote, but you may gain 30 votes from people like me and you that go, you did the right thing. I will support you because I can trust you to do the right thing, even when it's hard.
But you made the hard right decision.
You made the hard call, and it was difficult for you to do, but you did it. And I'll support you because I know you have what it takes to make the hard call when it's necessary.
Now, what would you cut if you were the president and you were doing the working on a budget? What would you cut?
Well, I would bring everything back home. I would cut every unnecessary foreign aid. I would also make every country that owes us money pay us back.
Immediately.
Well, we cut your funding off until you pay us back. Just real simple. And if you can never afford to pay it back, we're going to have to call that a wash. But we need to refocus everything we've got internally. We need to find a way to pay our teachers what they're worth because they are underpaid. Absolutely.
I agree. I totally agree.
We need better schools and better teachers to create a better generation
coming
up.
But the teachers union won't allow you to fire bad teachers.
Well, we can also cut unions. If they're in the way of good progress, we can also get rid of them.
Do you know how many people just got pissed off right there?
Well, it'll happen. It'll happen. But at the same time, I'll bet you a lot of people just went, yeah, fuck yeah.
Union,
there you go.
Unions are sort of past their deal. Unions were great when, like Upton Sinclair.
When the jungle, they helped bring us out of an oppressive situation.
Right.
But now they've created an oppressive situation.
Right. The union says, I get $35 an hour to screw down this one screw as it goes past on the conveyor belt.
Right.
What?
Right.
What?
Right. But the $35 an hour that guy gets, $12.50 an hour goes back to the union. That guy's not making all that money.
Right.
He's having a hard time feeding his family too. It's off the back of the union because he's paying for their boss to go to Washington and talk about what the unions need. And it's just they've created jobs where jobs shouldn't be. We need to simplify and get back to what's real and what we need, and we need to identify what we don't need and make it go away.
Well, it is so simple because I was listening the other day to a guy on MSNBC, one of the financial shows, because
uh-huh.
I was bored in my hotel room. When you're out on the road, you watch anything.
You do.
You just lay on the bed. What is this?
I leave my credit card at home because the shopping channel kicked my butt.
So I'm watching the thing at MSN, and this guy's talking about fixing the economy. Uh-huh. And he goes, it's very simple. It's what the way it used to work in the past. This local guy builds a doorknob. The uh-huh. doorknob gets sold at the local hardware store.
Correct.
That money that got spent at the local hardware store gets spent back into the community.
Mm-hmm.
The community has to grocery shop and spends that money.
Right.
So he goes, if we all keep that circular thing going of we build it, we make it, we sell it, we buy it, we build it, we make it, we sell it. He goes, the money grows and stays in one place.
It does.
It doesn't drain out of the country with foreign buyers of like Dubai now owns all the parking meters in, you know,
right.
California.
What is that? Well, that's our global economy that somebody, we'll just quotation that,
yeah.
somebody it to help make these poorer countries richer. Well, so I think Dubai is one of the richest countries in the world. We probably don't need to help them.
Yeah.
You know, and we should actually ask them if they'll help the Pakistans and the Afghanistans of the world because they're a little closer
y'all
to home.
Y'all a little home. Close. Y'all take
I would
care
like
of that.
To help. I would like to help America. I'd like to help.
Oh, you're one of those people. You're one of those isolationist people.
You know, I'm not an isolationist in the fact that if we were to see an atrocity like we saw in Germany in World War II, let's go over and let's take care of it. But we don't need to police everybody, and we don't need to be the savior of the world. We need to be the savior of America. Let's start there.
What happened, and where did it go wrong with taking care of America and having the pride in America? You stood up, you said the Pledge
right.
of Allegiance every day,
uh-huh.
and now the pledge is like some bad thing. You know, you're dedicating yourself to the government, and you know what I mean?
You're pledging allegiance to a flag?
To a flag?
Yes, I am.
Yes.
And what it stands for.
What it stands for, the freedom, mm-hmm. this country. Mm-hmm.
All the men that sacrificed and died to make sure that I can pledge allegiance.
Oh, you just live in the old world.
Or I cannot pledge allegiance. We used to say, I may not agree with what you say, but I'll defend your right to say it with my life.
I used to hear that a lot.
And that's absolutely true. I served in the military. That's the deal. I don't really, and the hardest thing to fight for in the military is when somebody is saying something that you don't really want to hear. It's not, but you're still out. That doesn't matter. I'm still fighting for what's right.
We're Americans, and we are taught this.
And what's right is that you should be able to say what you feel, even if I don't like it. And if I don't like it, I don't. Now we begin to demonize. Well, you don't agree with what I say, so you're a radical, or you're a nut, or you're a homegrown terrorist.
Gun nut.
I'm going to demonize you and everybody you deal with to discredit your ability to say what you want. That was never the intention.
Well, the demonization thing drives me crazy, just absolutely crazy, because
right.
they throw a word out just to stop the conversation.
Uh-huh.
Even though there's could be a normal, well-thought-out debate,
uh-huh.
and you could be discussing,
right.
that's because you're a racist.
They throw that keyword out. You're
what?
A racist.
What?
You're a racist.
Are you a Nazi? What?
Yeah.
What?
What?
Why
are you going to do that?
Do you hate gay people?
Yeah, it's part of the progressive plan to just demonize people that they don't agree with. And
but yet they're the ones that are supposed to be free speech,
right.
You know, love
right.
everybody.
Right.
Well, I don't agree with you, so I'm going to shut you down.
Yeah, I have to just shut you down. Well, you know, and this may piss people off, and I don't intend to piss anybody off, but I think it was Morgan Freeman that had mentioned that our president now is not really the first black
yeah.
president. He's the first mixed race president.
Right.
Which he absolutely is.
Right. His quote was, he's not a black
president. He's a mixed race person. He is just as much white as he is black. I'm okay with that. I'm not a racist, and I didn't vote or not vote for him because of his color. And I'm not going to vote for him now because I'll be a racist if I don't. But what Morgan Freeman said was exactly true. And if you're going to go ahead and just judge him by the color of his skin, I think it must have been that Martin Luther King fellow. Very intelligent man.
Who said, don't judge?
Who said, the great world where we judge a man by the content of his character
mm-hmm.
and not the color of his skin.
Right.
And let's go with that, because Martin Luther King was an incredibly smart, one of the smartest individuals in the last century. And he was right on that.
Right.
And we can't judge this guy by the color of his skin.
I remember when I was living in California, there was an amendment proposition. I can't ever remember. Like we were talking the other day about, was that a case or a decision?
Yeah, it was a decision, not a case. Yes.
One of those uh-huh. was a case. It was one of those things in California, and it was when they were trying to get away with do away with affirmative action.
Okay.
For like college entrance,
mm-hmm.
you know. And they had the black leaders were standing on TV talking, and they were talking about how we have come no farther. This sets us back. This, you know, sets. And in the background, I remember this because vividly in the background, Martin Luther King's speech was playing in the background of them talking.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, wait, this is exactly what he was talking about.
Uh-huh.
This is when you won't be judged by the color of your skin, yeah, but by the content of your character.
Uh-huh.
This is what they're trying to get rid of.
Right.
They're trying to say we're equal by getting rid, uh-huh, of this, but there's people saying, we have come no farther.
Right.
Well, no, we have. That's why we're trying to get rid of this.
We really have.
You will be judged on the content of your character, uh-huh, to get into college.
Well, exactly. It's kind of like, remember the dating game?
Uh-huh.
Just put them all on the other side of that petition. I don't want to see them, because then I'll be judging them on the color or the non-color.
What they look like, or are they
handsome or not? I just want to hear what you have to say. Well, and we were talking yesterday, possibly, but great orators. People, Bill Clinton was a magnificent orator. He could give a speech and encapsulate you with his gestures. I think that, given the correct teleprompters and stuff, our current president is a great orator. He can draw you in with a speech. Unfortunately, Hitler was a great orator. He could draw you in with the passion he had. So I like to watch a speech, but I also like to read what I just want to read the content. Everybody today is talking about the speech.
Well he did on that,
yeah,
speech.
Well, Paul Ryan gave a speech yesterday, apparently, at the RNC that is just driving people crazy. It was a magnificent speech. If you're a Republican, you absolutely loved it. And apparently he's a great orator too. I would like to read what his speech was, so we can actually see and not get caught up by the show business side of it.
Right. The hand gesture, the look,
the passion.
Yeah.
And that's all wonderful and good, but what is the content of the speech? Not the.
Well, I've always thought what made Obama seem like a decent orator speech,
mm-hmm,
was he talked like a preacher.
His cadence. His cadence. When he speaks, his cadence is very good.
It's a preacher.
Uh-huh.
I will tell you the words.
Yeah. Preacher went on.
And then God said to the people.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Go forth.
I will give you.
Uh-huh. It's the same.
I will not let you.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. And his cadence in his speeches is wonderful.
But, because he's talking, it makes you feel like,
yes,
he's taking us somewhere.
Right.
He's showing us the light.
You're compelled to follow because he's so passionate about his delivery. But what is he saying? I will give you nothing. I wish you have not really a lot, you know.
I will continue to
do nothing. Yeah. If it was up to me, we would go on vacation. You know, it just... What's he saying? What are any of them saying? You know, I want to take you all to the drive-in.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What are you going to do?
Yeah. If you vote for me, I will bring back the T-bone at Waffle House.
Exactly. I will give you pop in all the water fountains. Remember that in high school?
Uh-huh.
Voting for the city or the student council president. I will give you Pepsi in every water fountain.
Yeah, vote for me.
Yeah. I will make the teachers go another school. Vote for me. Yeah. I will decrease lunch. They will pay you to eat lunch. Oh. That's kind of an entitlement society, isn't it?
Yeah, back to that again.
Okay, yeah. No, let's not go there.
Well, that whole entitlement thing is a very childish attitude. That's what that is.
That is
that whole, I deserve.
Yeah.
I want.
I got up this morning, and what are you going to give me?
What is that? What do I get?
The world owes me something today because I got out of bed.
Right. Again, it goes back to what we were talking about that day. There's no adult point in a lifestyle, mm-hmm, where you actually go, well, that's very childish. That, mm-hmm, is not the way to think.
Yes. And I think when people do that, it really makes their parents look bad. Your parents should have raised you better than this.
Mm-hmm.
You should do something. There are people that can't. And I think that as an American society, we would give freely if given the opportunity. For instance, that one bus driver
The one that was bullied.
Bullied on the bus. Yeah. And people donated like $700,000 to her for a vacation or to help her out. Seriously?
Because that's the way we are in America.
I mean, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but given the opportunity, Americans will give much more than they would if you take it from them. Mm-hmm. You ever gone to a restaurant where they add the tip on automatically?
And you're pissed off?
All right, I'll pay that, but you could have got a lot more.
Uh-huh, and I won't be back.
Exactly.
I won't be back.
Exactly. Americans will give more than you would ever ask them if you just allow them the opportunity to give.
Well, you used to give to the churches. It used, mm-hmm, to be this. You gave to the church. The, mm-hmm, church helped the community.
Local church.
Local church,
community.
Local, back to local.
Local doorknob.
Take care of your community.
Uh-huh, exactly. That's we need to get back to that. We talked yesterday about states having more power than the federal government, giving all our money to help our state. less to help the federal government. That goes right back to the community. I give all my money to the little, I live up in Lowry. There's a little store there I go to, a couple little restaurants when I go out to eat. I can be a stranger anywhere. I walk into one of these and they know me. We go to have sushi at that one place once in a while.
And they're like, hey!
Hey, it's 3 blocks from my house. It's a little tiny town inside of Denver. And I think that every city has that. And I don't need to go all the way across town unless it's something that I really...
Like some restaurant you got to have, got to try. They only make this dish there.
A mom and pop shop that there's only one of. Right. You have to go there.
Yeah, that's... You know? Well, that's something we should continue on another podcast, because you made me think of something I wanted to talk about.
Okay,
and we will have to do that on another podcast.
Okay,
we've ran.
We're out.
We did a great 48 minutes.
Wow, nice.
48 minutes.
I love it,
guy. Thanks, Ken Wilson.
Thank you, Steve,
sitting in today. Ken Wilson. They can find you. Give a plug to the band website.
Honky Tonk Voodoo. On Facebook. Look that up. You're on Facebook. Just go to Honky Tonk Voodoo. Like the page. Follow the band. Come out and see us. If you love us, awesome. If you hate us, tell your worst enemies to come see us. It'll be funny as hell because they'll all be out and they won't like it at all.
Just tell her that they're a heavy metal band. You'll love it.
Heavy metal country. You're going to love it. Hell yeah.
Well, thanks for dropping in. Guys, thanks for downloading and hitting play or however you listen to this podcast, because a lot of people, I don't think, even understand how podcasts work sometimes.
Right.
So I always tell people, play a podcast for a friend.
Uh-huh.
Show them how easy it is, because you did it today.
I did it.
You hit play. You don't really have to download. There's not.
No, you just push play.
Yeah. So it's very easy. If you have a friend that's never heard a podcast, turn them on to it. So thanks for listening to Remasculate. Buy pop chips, buy some perky jerky, which you came in today.
I came in prepared.
With your bag of perky jerky.
It's the one I got yesterday. I told you I'm opening this bad boy up first thing in the morning and go at it.
It's good for – I always tell people it's great for breakfast because it's like a little meat. You got a meal.
Uh-huh.
You got some caffeine or whatever. Garamen is the –
Yeah, Guarana.
Guarana is the. Is
that
the,
sounds awful. It's awesome, but it just sounds weird.
But that's
sounds like a lizard.
That's the go fast element.
Nice. It is very good.
Zoom, zoom, zoom.
It's great jerky.
So, thanks, guys. We'll see you. God bless America. And go listen to some Oak Ridge Boys. I'll let you say this.
We bid you adieu.
Yeah, there you go.
In the basement of the mud flap house, fluffing and poo, and they're under with the razor noose, and poo licks herself, and flap contemplates manly things. He thinks about guns and trucks and stooges three, men and boys, and that doesn't sound right. He thinks about boobs and bacon and power tools. Come with me, let your mask you lay. Oh, won't you come with me and remind